This is Monday, December 4th, 2023. We are in Natick, Massachusetts, and this tape is part of the Morse Institute Library's continuing Veterans Oral History Project. My name is Maureen Sullivan, and we are privileged to have with us today Larry Honeywell.
Junior,
okay. And welcome, Larry, Junior.
Thank you.
May I ask when you were born?
Melrose, Massachusetts.
And when were you born?
August 15th, 1923.
So you just turned 100 years old.
Yes, ma'am.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What community do you currently live in?
Natick.
And your marital status?
My wife is deceased.
And do you have children?
I have three.
Grandchildren?
Four.
Great-grandchildren?
Seven. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about life in Melrose growing up.
I grew up in Melrose, Massachusetts during the Depression in 1930s. I was school age. Things were tough, really tough.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a sheet metal mechanic, made anything out of sheet metal.
Are there any siblings in your family? Brothers and sisters?
Yes, I came from a family of 10. I'm the second oldest of 10. First four were boys, one girl, then one boy, and four more girls.
Now,
Did
you go to school in Melrose?
Yes, I did. I went all 12 grades of school in Melrose.
So when did you graduate from Melrose High School?
I graduated from Melrose High in 1941.
And what did you do after high school? Did you go to work?
Yes, I did. I was employed by H.P. Hood & Son in Lynn.
Do you remember what you were doing on December 7th, 1941, when Pearl Harbor was attacked?
I was working for my son. No, I don't. No, I don't remember. No,
okay, that's okay. So, after Pearl Harbor, United States is in World War II.
Yeah.
Where and when did you enter the military?
I entered the Navy in 1942, in December of 42, and did my boot camp at Great Lakes, mm-hmm. Illinois.
Now, why the Navy?
My father was in the Navy in World War I.
And do you remember what boot camp at Great Lakes was like?
Bunch of wooden sheds all put up in a row with wood stoves, but we really had hard wood floors. The Great Lakes Shuffle was polished in these wood floors with a piece of steel wool when you first was called to quarters.
Yeah, and you're going during the winter, so that must have been brutal.
It was very, very cold. And the wind off the lakes. We made it, so.
And after you made it through basic, what kind of specialized training did you receive?
I was sent to Aviation Machinist Mate School at Chicago Pier, Illinois, not too far from Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you choose that field, or did the Navy choose it for you?
The Navy chose it for me through a questionnaire.
And what was involved in learning how to be an aviation machinist?
Making all kinds of emergency repairs on airplanes and doing engine maintenance, fabric repairs, metal repairs, electrical repairs. Really a quick, easy course in maintenance of airplanes.
Now, Larry, how long did the course take?
Probably a little over 3 months.
Okay. And when you got out of the course, what rank were you? Did you get?
No.
No?
No, seaman second.
Now, tell us what happened after you got out of machinist school.
Then I went to gunnery school. It was when the 50 calibers first come out, and I was in Oklahoma assembling and disassembling and general maintenance of the new 50 caliber aircraft gun. So.
Boy, they had you doing everything now, weren't they?
Yes, a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. So you're in Oklahoma. Tell us what happened next.
I think I was sent on a 30-day leave home. Mm-hmm. And I was transferred to Florida, and I joined a NAS Banana River. That was a naval air station that had seaplanes that did any sub work on the East Coast. And we joined them, and we stayed there doing any sub patrols on the East Coast.
And how did you like Florida? How did you like Florida after being at the Great Lakes in Oklahoma?
I loved it. There's nothing like it.
And how long were you stationed in Florida?
I'm not quite sure, but I think it was 6 months to almost a year.
And
doing any sub patrols, Key West.
Okay. And were you assigned to a squadron?
Yes, I was. Was VP-19.
Do you remember what VP stood for?
Yes. VP is Patrol Bomber. VP is a naval designation for the type of airplane it was.
Now, you mentioned that your squadron was part of anti-sub patrols off the coast of Key West. Did you come across any subs?
A lot of maybe subs, but nothing that proved out to be a genuine attack sub, so no.
And what happened after Florida?
I was given a leave, sent to the West Coast with all brand new airplanes, what they call a PBM-5. And everything, the latest of radar equipment, the latest of guns, the latest of everything.
No. Now, in addition to the machine guns, were you trained to repair radar equipment?
No, we had a radio man and a navigator, and they did all the radio and navigation equipment, we'd never know.
And at the time you were on the West Coast, what was your rank?
I was aircraft machinist, mate, third class.
All right, so now this kind of brings us to sometime in 1944, correct?
Yes.
All right, tell us what was happening.
Then we left for the Pacific. We got to Pearl Harbor. We were almost at Aniwetok, and they called us back for a retrofit of what they call JADO. And we had to have JADO because the waters in the Pacific are a little warmer than the Atlantic, and the swells were tough for landing and takeoff. And we, with a full load, mm-hmm. it was almost impossible to get off the water. A takeoff speed was 90 miles an hour to 110, and rough water was hard to get up to that. So we got JADO on small keg of gunpowder, we were told, under each wing that was set off by the pilots that would give them the additional lift for takeoff.
Gunpowder under each wing.
That's what they told us, yeah.
It's amazing you didn't blow up.
That's what it was doing, blowing up, but they were restricting. They were restricting the explosive part of it, so it give us thrust.
So, okay, you're on the West Coast. You're being sent off into the air with a little bit of gunpowder. Tell us what happened next.
Now, this all transpired with the... We'd already gone to sea and come back to Pearl and got the retrofit of the jettisons under each wing and went back out again and took up regular patrol routine and anti-sub patrols, air sea rescue, bypassed Wake. Wake was never. Wound up in Saipan, did all kinds of work out of Saipan, air sea rescue, convoy work mostly, and now and then B-29 work.
Now, Larry, during the time you were stationed out in the Pacific, what was the best way for folks to get the latest news updates? Were you scuttlebutt or newspapers?
No such a thing.
Oh.
You got a mail bag, maybe once every other, or whenever it was fit to be delivered, you got a mail bag. And then, and then that mail bag was distributed to all of the squadron and the maintenance crew. So that's the only way, the only communication we had was with the mailbags. No.
Okay, so how long were you stationed around Saipan?
All our work, main heavy work, was out of Saipan. And anything else we did off of what they call AVPs and AVs. An AV is a seaplane tender converted from a cruiser. An AVP is a seaplane tender converted from a destroyer. Most of our convoy work was done with AVPs, namely the Castle Rock. Mm-hmm. That was the name of the destroyer. And when we were involved with a seaplane, it was a Hamelin, and that was mostly maintenance and fuel or whatever. Most of the work was with the DE doing convoy work.
So now we're talking second half of 1944, correct?
Yes.
And the United States and their allies are doing the island hopping campaign.
Correct.
So you must have been kept really busy during that period.
Most of our work was observation, and he said, did a lot of long time patrols. The Jap fleet was just about diminished. And I went to Chichijima for one patrol. That's where Bush got shot down. We didn't do any fighting at Chichijima. All we did was rescue. That's where Chichijima. Then we went to Iwo Jima. I stayed at Iwo Jima best part of a week. Went back to Saipan. Went back in the routine patrols, and we were flying within 100 miles of the Japanese coast. By then, the Japs were on their knees. And the squadron was disbanded, and we were sent back to the States, mm-hmm. and another gang took over. Everybody got a, this was.
Okay.
In summer of 45, around then.
Okay. All right, so now you're back in the States. It's 1945.
Yeah.
It's the end of the war. Tell us what happened next.
I did an assignment to Floyd Bennett Field, New York. I was plane captain for Admiral de Florist. Mm-hmm. I stayed there till they closed Floyd Bennett Field. I was transferred to Florida. And I did a crash crew for the remainder of my enlistment. Outlying fields for pilots being trained, touch and go landings. And I did that for the remainder of my enlistment.
Just a matter of clarification, you're still an aviation machinist, correct?
Second class. I got promoted when I was come home from the Pacific.
And while you were at Floyd Bennett in Florida, you were still part of a mechanic crew?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I just wanted to make sure on that.
Floyd Bennett Field, I was what they call a plane captain for,
mm-hmm.
an Admiral de Florist, and all I did was maintain the maintenance. See that it was done. I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. See that it was done on the Admiral's plane. Mm-hmm. It was a twin-engine Cessna. The big shot was a warrant officer pilot with me.
So where and when were you discharged?
I was discharged in Florida on December of 48.
So you stayed in the Navy for about 6 years.
Yes, I did a 6-year hitch, yeah.
Wow. And you got out as aviation mechanic second class.
Yeah. Almost senior in the state of Florida, mm-hmm. for what it's worth.
So what did you do after you were discharged?
I went back to work for Hood Milk.
And what did you do there?
As a truck mechanic for Hoods.
Now, did anyone from the government call you up when Korea took place in the early 50s?
No.
Okay, they left you alone then?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And where did you live during post-war? Were you still in Melrose, Lawrence?
No. I was married and I was living with my in-laws in Reading.
And you, of course, had had children.
I had one, but I had the other two when I bought the house in Melrose.
Okay. So yeah. You went back to Melrose?
I purchased a house in Melrose and moved from Reading to Melrose.
Mm-hmm. Now, Larry, did you receive any commendations or medals for your service?
No, just the Asia, Pacific, and Atlantic.
Okay. And did you join any service organizations?
No, I did not. Okay. Till what year? I just joined one. I belong to the Veterans of Foreign Wars now, mm-hmm. but I didn't do only for 5 or 6 years, maybe.
Okay.
I did not join any mm-hmm. any organizations.
Okay. Larry, what did it mean for you to serve your country in the military?
Honorable, very, very honorable. I couldn't do enough for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long did you work for H.P. Hood?
Probably 38, 39 years.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And you retired?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And what have you been doing these days?
I retired from Hood's and I went to work for Framingham State College. As a storekeeper. I worked there for how many years?
Maybe 10.
About 10 years?
About, okay. Yes.
Okay. Larry, is there anything else you would like to tell the audience, or at least those who are going to be watching this interview?
Yes, I'm scared to death that the feeling for the country isn't the same as it was then. Devotion for the country isn't the same now as it was then. I'm scared.
Right, and is there anything else you would like to say before we wrap up this interview?
No, God bless America. You're the best.
Okay, Larry Honeywell, we thank you so much for taking part in the Natick Veterans Oral History Project.
Thank you for having me.